Strengthen your immune system with Goldman Laboratories liposomal vitamin C and get 10% off. Quote 10 off at goldmanlaboratories.com.
You're listening to the Environment and Conservation Show on UK Health Radio. My name is Yara. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you would like to connect with me, feel free to touch base on www.wildeyeadventures.com. On this week's show, I am interviewing Stefan, who is the founder of Nature and Therapy UK, which was formed in 2017. As a response to a growing need for spiritual and psychological connection to the natural world, inspiring nature connection and education about how we can learn to respect and include nature in our lives. Stefan has been exploring wild places for over 50 years and trained originally in countryside management, conservation, and environmental education. He's a qualified integrative psychotherapist and mountain leader with 25 years' experience facilitating individuals and groups in natural environments. In 2008, he established the highly acclaimed Ecotherapy Project with Plymouth NHS for people with severe and enduring mental health needs. Stefan is highly involved in nature connection. I met Stefan in Devon. I actually took part in one of his forest bathing practitioner courses. I am now a qualified forest bathing practitioner. Thank you so much, Stefan, for that time in the woods, meeting all those lovely nature-loving people. Stefan's going to be talking and highlighting Shinrin-yoku, aka forest bathing, which is quiet contemplation time around trees and woodlands for mental health and well-being. Now, this form of ecotherapy has been growing. The Woodland Trust organization in the UK have been pushing it. It's made our mainstream media. And especially during lockdown, people have been gravitating towards the natural world for mental health and well-being. So thank you very much for tuning in to the show. I hope you enjoy the interview with Stefan.
Because when you stop to think what nature's given, don't you think it might be time to give some back?
Hello, Stefan. Welcome to the Environment and Conservation Show on UK Health Radio. It's fantastic to have you on the show. How you doing?
Hello, Yara. Hi. Thank you. Yeah, doing good this morning, actually. The snow has melted. And I can see a bit of blue sky. So I'm looking forward to going outside later on today and having a little wander around.
Yes, you are also a creature of the sun, Stefan. I am feeling that. It's nice to see the sun again. We have to enjoy it when we can here in England, don't we?
We do. And also, I particularly like this time of year because you can just begin to see the very first inklings of spring coming through before we get that huge rush of luxurious green growth. You get the few little pioneers coming up through at the moment. And it's really nice to go out and see those plants coming up, the very first ones.
It's lovely that you notice these things as well, Stefan. You know, I think it's like it's that sense of awareness towards the natural world and being in tune with the ever changes that it brings with every season. So that's lovely. I'm seeing the bluebell starting to come out right now.
Yeah, I think from every year I've noticed from February the 1st or in bulk or in the Christian traditions, St. Bridget's Day or Brigid's Day. That's the traditional day of blessing the wells and springs for the coming year, and also the day for blessing the sheep to have a good lactation.
Oh, right.
and so traditionally, that's the day when I go out and I start beginning my process of looking for the first signs of spring. And we get these lovely plants like coltsfoot and butterbur coming up through, first with their leaves and then with their glorious flowers. So it's almost like winter's nearly over and here's a first few signs of spring. Woo!
Yes, right. Woohoo! Spring, finally. We can hopefully come out of hibernation mode. So, Stefan, we met doing a forest bathing practitioner course. So you are the founder of a platform called Nature and Therapy UK. Can you just tell the listeners a little bit about your missions, please?
Yes. I mean, throughout my entire life, I basically spent my entire time out in nature. And I think this sounds a bit funny, but I've been quite sort of jealously guarding my relationship to nature. I've been quite possessive over it because I think in sort of attachment theory terms, nature has been my mother. But about 5-6 years ago, I had a sort of change of heart, a change of perspective. I began to realize that some of my old friends were no longer with me. So a lot of the plants and animals that I greeted every year, they just weren't there anymore. And it deeply saddened me. And it was at that point that I thought maybe I should come out of hiding and start talking to people a bit more about how to develop a sensitivity to nature so that people might then choose to revere it and protect it a bit more. And that really kind of spurred me on to setting up Nature and Therapy UK. I've been working with people in the outdoors for over 20 years, but Nature and Therapy UK was really an opportunity to run training courses to teach walk leaders so that the message of respecting nature and revering it could be spread more widely wherever people lived. So yeah, that's why I set it up. And just serendipitously, it coincided with the information coming out of Japan about Shinrin-yoku, which was the sort of scientific evidence base that I needed to be able to reach into parts of society where people were cynical about the benefits of nature, and they needed that science background to convince them.
Yeah, and of course, the Japanese have been studying the benefits of Shinrin-yoku since 1982, haven't they? But for listeners who are tuning in right now, Stefan, can you explain what Shinrin-yoku is in your perception?
Sure. It's basically going out into, in the Japanese case, into their forests and woodlands and doing a very slow, mindful walk. So you're not going very far, just walking really slowly and really taking in everything in your environment. So the actual term Shinrin-yoku means forest bath or forest shower. It doesn't involve taking your clothes off, but it refers to having this total immersion experience in the natural world. And that involves waking up all of your senses.
Yeah, so that's something that's really quite vital, isn't it? When tuning into the natural environment, Stefan, is tuning in the human senses, right? Like the smell, the touch, your hearing. And what happens, what do you believe happens to the human brain once your senses are activated in a forest environment?
Yeah, it's a good question, Yara. Well, let's just go back a minute. At the moment, we live in a culture that is visually dominated. So nearly everything we do is dependent on our visual sense. And because our eyes are so closely connected to our brain, in a way, we're overstimulating our sense of sight in driving, using computers, in busy cities where we're having to cross streets and watch out for traffic. In so many ways, we are being visually overstimulated, which is having an impact on the brain. When we go out into natural settings, we experience what are called restorative environments. So a restorative environment is one where we are able to see a view or a vista, but we don't need to focus our eyes, our sight in a very direct way. So we are just looking out across at the landscape or across at the sea. And what that does is it has a tranquilizing effect on the brain, because the eyes don't need to focus in on any particular thing. They're just gazing out. And what scientists have discovered is that that helps the brain to kind of reprogram itself back to a more restful state. When we go out into the forest doing Shimrin-yoku, what we try to do is to encourage people to engage all of those other senses that are shut down or secondary to sight. One of the exercises we do is to get people to close their eyes, and it's surprising how quickly those other senses kind of kick in to compensate for the absence of sight. And we begin to learn how to listen to the forest and hear all the beautiful sounds of the forest. Our sense of smell switches on, because there are so many beautiful scents and aromas in the woods. And through a bit of foraging, we can find plants that are interesting to taste. There's many ways to engage with the forest through Shimrin-yoku. The textures of the leaves, the tree trunks, the soil. We're just engaging all of these other senses in a way that we don't normally use, but we're engaging them in the way that our bodies have been designed to use those senses.
You know, you tapped on something quite important there, Stefan. I mean, I've always said, and I believe, that your world is made up of what you're seeing every day and what you're taking in through your environment. Now, many of us today, we're growing up in busy urban environments, and you tapped on this having effect on mental health and well-being. Yes, it's a very busy lifestyle. We're constantly getting that visual stimuli. Our brains are constantly active. I mean, a lot of the technology we're exposed to these days, they don't come with health warnings, you know, like cigarette packets or anything like that. Like, we're still not aware of how these appliances are, say, impacting young people's brains at the moment. So finding that balance between the modern world and the natural world is very, very important, I believe. Now, with your clients that you've had over these years, Stefan, have you ever found that when you get someone out into a forest and then suddenly, you know, all that city noise stops and they're in the quiet, have any clients in the past maybe had a problem with this stillness or this silence? Because, you know, we're not quite used to it. We're quite rushy. So when it stops, maybe we don't know what to do with ourselves. Do you know what I mean? Have you ever experienced that with any clients?
I've got an amusing story to tell you about that, actually, which illustrates your point. I used to work a lot with the Prince's Trust, and I worked with people who were unemployed, and I had a group of young men down here on Dartmoor working with me who had come down from Brixton, and we were out in the most beautiful area of woodland, oak woodland, and we'd gone back to the car park to get our lunch, and I noticed this group of men were standing around the back of the minibus in a huddle. And I thought, well, that's funny, what are they doing? And I went over there, and they had the minibus engine running, and they were standing around breathing in the fumes because they'd had enough fresh air. they needed polluted air.
That is really, really bizarre, Stefan. I've never heard something like that before. I'm actually very thankful leaving the city and going to a forest to breathe the fresh air in. It makes a refreshing change. So I've never heard anything like that before.
The other strange thing was that none of these guys had any raincoats. It rains a lot down here. And I kept questioning them, saying, well, what do you do back at home? And they said, oh, well, we never get wet. You know, in London, they said, yeah, we never get wet. We're they're either on the underground or they're inside buildings or they're in cars. They say, yeah, we just don't get wet.
Stefan, there's so many stories. You know, I heard of a child, you know, coming from India and seeing the moon for the first time because they grew up in Mumbai and they never see the moon there because of all the pollution. I mean, these are stories that we're hearing often, like our disconnection from the natural world. And I feel Shinrin Yoku and forest bathing is a tool to reawaken that connection to the natural world. I mean, you personally, Stefan, how do you believe that nature has influenced your upbringing and shaped you to who you are today?
Well, that's a big question. Well, as I said earlier on in the interview, I feel like I bonded more with nature than I did with my own parents because of where I grew up.
Do you feel that you could function as a human being, basically, without nature? Has it become a part of your identity?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, with the lockdown and everything, I've been indoors much more than I would normally, and it's been driving me mad. And the other day, I did go out for a long walk, and the difference in how I felt afterwards was incredible. I actually went on a coast path walk and took a flask with me, had a cup of tea, and sat on the beach in the sun. And I came back just as the sun was setting. And just standing there looking at the sunset, I was just completely mesmerized by it. And I don't know, it just filled me up with energy. It just made me feel like a different person. And I just came home feeling completely recharged. And that's the effect that nature has on me. And I feel that I can't be cut off from nature for too long. I have to be out there because it's almost like it's my mirror. So it mirrors back to me how I am in myself. It's a reflection of my condition. And without it, I don't really know how I am or who I am.
I think a lot of people can resonate with what you're saying. I mean, a lot of this scientific research and data is just starting to, you know, it's coming into our mainstream now, the importance of nature connection and how your brain behaves better and healthier around nature. I mean, scientifically, Stefan, there is definitely something going on up there. I mean, if we look at your brain waves, like right now, you and I, we're in a beta brain state, right? Because we're taking in information. That's the level state that we're continuously on most of the time, beta. But then when it comes to relaxation and peace, you know, it's going to be a higher brain state, a higher frequency. You're going to go into theta or alpha. Do you feel that when you're in a forest, that is helping to reach these more calmer brain states?
Yes, to some extent. When I'm out, I don't think about it in those kind of scientific terms, obviously. But what I experience quite often when I go out into nature is that I connect to a much deeper part of myself. And it's a part of myself that somehow gives me the bigger picture of my life. So I may be, during my daily life, I may have the normal kind of worries, concerns and neuroses that people have about different things, you know. But when I'm out in nature, somehow my mind expands out into a much broader, more kind of cosmic perspective on life. So I'm seeing myself as a small entity within the universe and seeing my life as being a journey of different experiences that I'm having. And it just helps me to expand my consciousness, really. And also within that, there are times when I get, I don't know what to call them, maybe visionary kind of experiences where something comes to me that's the missing piece of the jigsaw of my life. And that always happens when I'm out in nature, not when I'm doing the washing up.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because if you research into many great minds of the past that, you know, brought amazing wonders to our world, they all pretty much said the same thing, Stefan. They said the answers don't come when they're, you know, say, thinking repetitively and obsessing to solve an equation. The answers would come like when they were out in nature and at peace.
That's right.
And that's when, you know, the creativity, and that is that it's scientifically proven, isn't it, that when you're out in nature, it boosts your creativity, your cognitive skills, your senses. So I'm not surprised that you say that. Now, during lockdown, Stefan, have you seen that a lot of people have naturally gravitated towards nature during this time?
Yes, particularly last summer and even right now through into the winter, I've been aware of a huge increase in people visiting Dartmoor. And last summer, it was almost like the woods that I go to were becoming almost like a festival site. So were people wandering through with tents and sleeping bags and surfboards. I mean, don't know what they're going to do with them. And even now with the sprinkling of snow we've had up on the moor, there are people out all over the place. Sometimes I can't find anywhere to park because it's just absolutely rammed with people. And I think people are, you know, one of the sort of side effects of this pandemic is that maybe people are recalibrating their sense of priorities and realizing that nature has something to offer them, actually, that they... because they can't go out and do some of the other things they do, whether it's consumerist activities or other sporting activities. Maybe they're turning to nature, and maybe in some way that's a good thing, because they're realizing how much nature has to offer them in terms of calming their minds and energizing their bodies.
That's just it, Stefan. It's like right now, you know, that people are naturally gravitating towards nature. But unfortunately, I've been hearing some, you know, sad stories as well. I read recently that Wissmann's Woods has got quite a lot of damage caused to it. Now, this is an ancient, irreplaceable woodland. And as much as, you know, I'm all for nature connection and people, it's about... the core thing, it's our relationship towards nature and how we're treating nature whilst we're interacting with it, you know, because a lot of the moss there has been destroyed. So sad stories coming out, Stefan, you know, we want to push this nature connection, and but it's about healing our relationship towards the natural world at the same time.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Yara. And that is something that I've been witnessing a lot, particularly over the summer. There was quite a lot of rubbish and toilet paper all over areas that I considered to be sacred.
It's heartbreaking, Stefan, is what it is. This treatment, you know, it starts with us, these changes. And we as well, like, people are gravitating towards nature, but at the same time, there's a... you know, a highlighted inequality of green spaces and woodlands within our community. So what you'll find is that you'll get a herd of crowd going to the same places, right? So that at the same time is having an impact on the natural world.
I think it comes down to education, because I think it's important to encourage people out into the natural world. And of course, I want to see people acting in a respectful way towards nature because, you know, as I said earlier, she's my mother and I don't want people abusing her. So, but it comes down to education, partly. These areas that you're talking about where people are kind of gravitate towards, quite often those are set aside, what they call honeypots. So a honeypot is an area of nature that's deliberately sacrificed to high visitor numbers in order to protect the other more sensitive areas where they discourage people from visiting. The second thing is that I firmly believe that what we need is a national qualification in nature awareness. So this would be a compulsory subject at schools that you would have to pass in order to complete your studies at GCSE level. You would need to do this national qualification, which was partly about health and safety out in remote places, but also partly about how to learn about how to care about nature. So it's not just about, you know, closing the farmer's gate. It's learning about your impact on the sensitive natural environment. It's learning to pick up your rubbish and take it back home with you, leave no trace. It's all those kinds of things. If we can educate young people about the necessity of protecting the environment, then hopefully they will grow up to be respectful adults and they will learn to treat nature in the sacred way that it deserves.
I'm so glad you said that, Stefan, because that's really very, very key, right, is education. And you know I stand for outdoor education. Myself and many others, we work within the outdoor industry, and these skills that we teach, it's like it helps. It's just another tool to, you know, develop your connection to the natural world. Now, going back to the whole exposing ourselves to nature and how it affects our health and mental well-being. I mean, it is said that staring through a window at a tree can help to lower anxiety and stress. And, you know, that's what these scientific studies now are bringing us. So do you believe that exposing ourselves to nature during these times may support our mental health and well-being?
Oh, definitely, for sure. I mean, if we go back to Ulrich's studies, which I think were back in the 60s or 70s, he was, I think, a geography student, and he discovered that people who were post-operative had a quicker recovery time if they could see out of the window of their ward than the people who couldn't see out the windows. So it definitely has an impact on our health and well-being. And yeah, if we can just, even just seeing out the window, looking at the sky, looking at the trees, and if we can see some birds out of our window, that has a massive impact on us, because it connects us, not only connects us to the natural world, but it somehow connects us to our brothers and sisters. We're related to birds, we're connected to birds. And so when we see them out the window doing what they're doing, we become absolutely fascinated by them.
You know, every sunset, Stefan, there's a robin that comes and sits right at the top of the poplar tree in my back garden and sings a beautiful song. And I really appreciate this robin's song every day at sunset. So I know exactly what you mean. I heard that they had to shift their bird song frequencies because of the noise pollution of the cities now, that birds have had to alter their ways. Going back to, you know, the whole forest bathing, can you please tell our listeners, Stefan, the positive benefits of forest bathing and Shinrin-yoku?
Yes. I mean, apart from the benefits that we've just discussed, on our mental health, scientifically, it's been proven that being out in the forest also has a big impact on our physiology. And one of the main discoveries that they made in Japan was that trees, all plants, but trees in particular, release these volatile organic oils that are called phytoncides. And the word phytoncide actually means exterminated by the plant. So these phytoncides are released by trees in order to protect themselves from attack by fungus, insects, herbivores. It's a chemical repellent. When we go into the forest and we breathe in the forest air, we take these minute particles inside us. They go inside our lungs and into our bloodstream, and they have the effect of enhancing our immune systems. So the substances that trees produce to protect themselves from attack, when we breathe them in, they contribute to us protecting ourselves from attack by cancer cells, viruses, bacteria, etc. Our immune systems are enhanced by the forest atmosphere. And a day's walk in the forest can boost our immune system for anything up to a month afterwards. So that's one of the main findings. There have been many others as well, how the forest environment lowers blood pressure and heart rate, how it improves our capacity to sleep and to get deeper sleep and more restful sleep. The phytoncides also have an impact on our metabolism. So not going into too much scientific detail, but actually being in the forest can help us to lose weight and also has an impact on metabolic disorders. It helps us. This is one of the main key findings, is that being in the forest helps us to move from the sympathetic nervous system, which is our fight or flight response, into the parasympathetic nervous system, which is our relax and heal system. So the more we move over to the parasympathetic nervous system, the more efficient and stronger and healthier our bodies become, because we're able to relax more, we're able to heal, and we're able to digest our food much better. So these are some of the impacts that being in the forest has on us. There are many, many more, but those are some of the main ones.
I think that's amazing that, you know, one day of forest exposure can boost your immune system for up to a month. Like, do you believe, Stefan, that National Health Services in the UK may possibly save on funding if they, say, implemented nature therapy into public health services, just like they've done in Japan? Because I understand that you can go to a doctor in Japan and be prescribed a day off work to spend time in woods for mental healing. Like, and I heard that Scotland has, you know, started prescribing bird walks and nature walks to their patients. What do you believe about all of the whole nature therapy, please?
Yes, that's a really good point, Yara. So in Japan, they have a system of what they call forest therapy roads. And these are, I think, now 63 different forest therapy road stations, which are set up all over Japan. And you can get a referral from your GP and go to one of these places. Each forest therapy station has a GP who works there. And so when you arrive, they will take a blood and saliva sample. They will then show you the condition of your health. After the walk, they do another blood and saliva sample, and you get a readout chart which shows you the comparison between the two, which indicates, even though it's just been a two-hour walk, it indicates the benefits that you've received that they can measure from taking the blood and saliva. They can then determine your cortisol levels, which is your stress hormone, and the blood then shows you things like your immune system and various other factors. In this country, I think it would benefit people enormously, because it's about reducing stress. If you can reduce stress, then, you know, stress is the precursor to so many different illnesses and diseases of the body. And we have just recently set up a project which we're hoping to go live as soon as lockdown ends. So we are now taking people as referrals from GPs through the social prescribing route out into the forest. And we're running continuous 6-week programs for people who've been identified as suffering from depression and anxiety. And they will be out in the woods with us one day a week for 6 weeks as part of our healing program.
That's fantastic to hear, Stefan. I really feel we need to push these initiatives a lot more within this country. And that's really great to hear. I mean, I'm aware that in May, it's Mental Health Awareness Week. Is there anything that Nature and Therapy UK has got planned for that particular week?
Yes, Yara, we have. We are offering all over the UK 100 free walks. So these are called Walks for Wellness, and we're going to be taking people out, all our graduates from the last 4 years of training have offered their time for free to run Shimrin-Yoku walks. And we're hoping to get walks set up in, as I say, in every part of the UK, so that if people want to come and join us during Mental Health Awareness Week, they can just turn up wherever the local walk is closest to them.
I'm hopefully going to be a part of that initiative as well. I think it's a great thing and we need to push that more. Is there any other messages you wish to share with the listeners?
Yeah, I think if people are curious, and I think curiosity is the main driver here, if people are curious about how nature can benefit them, then I would encourage them to just go out. And the key thing here is to just slow down everything. So if you can just slow your pace down, and I encourage you to maybe switch your telephone, your mobile telephone off, so that you're not going to get disturbed, you're not going to get tempted to look at it every few minutes. Just switch the phone off, just go out and slow everything down. What you'll find is you'll begin to notice all sorts of things that you never saw before, that you never heard before, that you never smelled before, that you never touched before. If you haven't got a garden, just go for a walk somewhere locally. Notice what's around you in terms of wildlife, because even in the middle of the city, as we know, right in the centre of London, we've got peregrine falcons. So we know that nature is all around us, but sometimes in the city, we have to be detectives and go out and see where we can find it, where we can locate it. Sometimes that means going to parks and gardens, but I would also encourage people to go and search and seek out those places where nature has been growing uninvited, the wild, scruffy urban wildernesses, the bits of wasteland, the bits of derelict land where nature is recolonizing. Those are the places that I find most interesting. And I just encourage people to go out and just look around and see what they can find. And that's the beginning of the journey.
And how can listeners get in touch with you should they wish to connect with you, please?
They can get in touch through the website, which is natureandtherapy.co.uk. Drop us an email, or on the website, I believe there is the phone number. So people can phone up and speak to myself or to Joe. And we run training courses throughout the year, about once a fortnight, down here in Devon and also in one of the northern counties. This year we're in Lancashire. We also run bespoke group courses for people, say, coming from a place of work. And we also do one-to-one sessions with people. So these are ecotherapy walks in nature, which are designed to support people's therapeutic process. So these go in quite deep into our emotional connections to nature. And again, they use that mirroring or reflection process where nature seems to offer metaphors and symbols for what's going on deep inside us. So we're happy to hear from people. We also have a number of graduates, as I mentioned earlier, who are running walks in places like London, Manchester, and all over the rest of the country. So there's going to be somebody close to you that you could tie up with if you wanted to go for trying out a Shimrin-Yoku walk.
Thank you so much, Stefan, for speaking with me on the Environment and Conservation Show on UK Health Radio. It's been really lovely chatting to you.
Been a pleasure, Yara.
Thank Thank you very much, Stefan, for sharing your knowledge about nature connection on the Environment and Conservation Show. I hope you enjoyed the interview, folks. Remember, from the 10th to the 16th of May 2021, it is Mental Health Awareness Week. Now, Nature and Therapy UK has teamed up with Mental Health Foundation, and they are offering free forest bathing walks around the UK for Mental Health Awareness Week for members of the public. Now, this is a free initiative, folks. So locate a free Shinrin-yoku walk near you. Wishing you all a positive week. Humans are nature, so stay human. Go to nature. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like to connect with me, visit www.wildeyeadventures.com. Stay tuned for next week's show with the lovely Yasmin. And thanks for tuning in. Take care.